my soul, worship his holy name. Welcome back. You've been away so long. When you go away and you do a lot of driving, you put on a few extra kilos, which now I've got to work at losing. But God's good. God's grace is a fantastic thing. While I've been away, I've been pondering and asking God what he wants me to bring forth this morning out of his word. And I emphasize this is out of his word, not mine. And all the time I've been away, I've had three different scriptures going through my mind and my heart continually. And I'm saying, God, which one? Which one? And there was one that was more predominant than the others, and I put a few things together, and I got to yesterday, and I still had the three going through my mind. And so I spent a bit of time on the most predominant one. And this morning in the prayer room, God cancelled the other two out. Isn't that fantastic? And every song we've sang this morning, if you listen to what I want to share, you'll see reference to this in every one of the songs we sang this morning. And I can understand why the Apostle Paul made this statement. And I'll read just this scripture at the moment, but I want to read some more around it. That he learnt to be content in whatever situation he found himself in. There's lots of different scriptures that speak about contentment in God. But it doesn't come by accident. And it doesn't come through prayer. It doesn't come through hoping or wishing. Something you have to learn. And if you look at the life of the Apostle Paul and look at the things that he went through before he made this statement, you can see the sort of things that taught him to be content in whatever situation he found himself in. Because he says, at times I had plenty. And in my life, there's times when I've had plenty. He says, there were times in my life when I had nothing. There's been times in my life when I've had nothing. Thank God I've not been stoned yet as he was. I've not been shipwrecked yet as he was. I've not been bitten by a serpent as he was. I've not been thrown into prison and beaten like he was. I probably have been falsely accused in my life of different things. Most things I've been accused of, I was guilty. Didn't like to admit it, but another scripture came to me this morning about knowing the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I want to read the rest of this scripture to you, and I want you to ponder these things. And as the Bible says, to meditate upon the Word of God. As a cow would chew its cud, chew this stuff over in your heart, and it'll set you free. Because that's what Jesus is all about. I want to read from 2 Philippians chapter 3. There's only one Philippians in the Bible, isn't there? Only one Philippians? I was thinking the other day, I should get up here and just read the scriptures and not give a reference, because we're all supposed to know where this stuff is. And that's a challenge for all of us. I know lots and lots of scripture, and I can quote it nearly word perfect, but I fall down in telling you where to find it. And I've got a concordance at home, which is enormous. And now you can have an app on your phone and press a couple of buttons, and all this stuff just pops up for you. Makes it real easy. The only trouble is I'm computer illiterate. I'd rather use it the old way. Philippians chapter 3 verse 1 says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs," he says. "Those men who do evil. Those manipulators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason to have such confidence." That's Paul, not me. All my confidence is in Christ, as it should be. "If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. A righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of standing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead." And that's not the scripture I was going to read. But one of the scriptures that came to mind yesterday was that one I've just read about knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of the sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. The Apostle Paul was from my perspective, an incredible person. He was well educated, which I'm not. He was zealous in what he did, to the point where he would put those that opposed him to death. I've not got to that stage yet. But when the truth came along on the road to Damascus, all that changed. He was still zealous for God in a completely different way. And it shone and shined through his life. In the last couple of years, things have taken place in my life which I didn't want to happen. Things that I used to think as a younger Christian would never happen to a Christian. But I'm learning some stuff. And I wished I'd learned it a long time ago. But one of the things I'm learning, and learning daily, is to be content in whatever situation I am and what I find myself in. I understand the Apostle Paul when he said, if you want to follow Christ, be like me. And no, we're not getting divorced. I love my wife and I want her with me until the day I die. But he said, if you want to follow Christ fully, be single. Because you don't have the things that married life bring upon you. But you see, he wandered around the countryside. And there's an old saying that a rolling stone gathers no moss. So in the way of material possessions, he didn't have too much. Because I found over life, as you gather these things, and you gather these things, and you gather these things, at the end of the life, they're worthless, they're meaningless, and they just take up space. I was watching a program the other day of a couple of three women, the wives of three footballers, that have decided to start this business in renovating houses from a woman's perspective, different to a man's perspective. There was no mention of a shed at all. But there was mention of lots of storage space. And all storage space does is collect stuff. You know, we've still got stuff in boxes there that we've not looked at for a couple of years now. And I come to the realization that it's meaningless. I would encourage all you young people to declutter and get rid of the stuff from your lives, starting with your houses first, because it's nice to have all these little trinkets. But all they do is gather dust, take up space, and cause you to spend more and more money on mortgages to have bigger houses to put all this stuff in. What a waste of time that is. I was encouraged by Matt when we were in Darwin to go to the markets down near the harbour, and they were fantastic. And I never bought anything but what I could put in here. And you can see I put some in. But they have every sort of trinket you can think of. And that there's thousands of people go down there. They do it twice a week, and there's thousands of people go down there. All these tourists running around buying these little bits and pieces. I'll take this home and I'll put it on this shelf, or I'll hang it on this wall. Hang on, I'll build another room when I get home to put all this stuff in. We do that with our lives. We fill it up with rubbish. And there's a point in your life where you've got to get rid of it. It's got to become meaningless. We put all sorts of stuff in our lives, which is temporary. It only has value on this earth. It has no value in eternity. It has no value in your relationship with Christ. And it takes up room. And it causes you to spend more and more and more upon it. We've got to be like the Apostle Paul and learn to be content with very little. His contentment was in Christ. That's all he wanted, that's all he needed, and that's all he strived for. But we've got to learn to do it. We've got to learn to leave the stuff on the shelf in the shop. I was watching on the news some stuff going on at the showgrounds, and it was fantastic to see the Crows win yesterday. But they had a stall there selling scarves and beanies and this, that and the other, and you find people that go and spend far too much money on memorabilia, far too much money. There was a woman there that was a fan of one of the other teams that are playing at the moment in Brisbane, I think. What's the new team? The Giants. And she's been to every one of their matches right around Australia this year. Now, what would that cost? What would that cost? Flying here and flying. You can't drive every day to the next match. And people spend all this money on this stuff. And now they get down to the end of their life and think, well, I've got nothing left. And if they don't know God, they're in dire straits. Dire straits. People commit suicide because of this sort of stuff. But the source and supply of our life has to be Jesus. Has to be Jesus. And if you want a better life, stop filling your life full of stuff and fill it with Jesus, because it's going to be far better now and far better in the outcome in the end. You know, there's an old saying, you can't put an old head on young shoulders. That's what I'm trying to do this morning for young people. Enjoy your life in Christ. Get out there and enjoy life, but don't fill it with stuff, because it's meaningless, it's worthless stuff. The Bible speaks about building up your treasure in heaven. Well, I can guarantee you not one trinket you buy on this earth will go to heaven with you. Not one. And it frees your life, frees you up. Paul goes on and says, not that I have already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on and take hold for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Well, excuse me, all of us who are mature should take such view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers. Take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you, for as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Breathe in on that one. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And that fits in with that word that Jess had at the end of the worship time there. Eagerly awaiting a Saviour. One of the things, and I had the sense this morning in the prayer room, well, I have some friends that have come across hard times over the last few years in their business, and it wasn't God's fault, but they're blaming God. They have family members that are suffering so bad they've considered and tried suicide, and they're blaming God. They have another family member that has been struck down with cancer and has a limited time, far as the doctors are concerned, to live, and they're blaming God. These people were really strong Christians at one stage. Brothers and sisters, life's crap. This stuff happens. Up until a couple of years ago, I led a sickness-free life. 65 years without anything. And then, bang, I had to have this massive bypass operation. I got over the operation pretty good. Amazing how quick Satan comes along and starts whispering in your ear about sin and stuff like that. And that's a lie of the devil. Stuff happens to human beings. We live on a fallen, in a fallen world, in a fallen society. Sickness is part of that. We pray to God on a regular basis for people to be healed. Sometimes it doesn't happen. And if we're honest, when we pray, we always put our slant on it. God, do it this way. And I'm not here to tell God anything. I'm here to listen to what He's saying and work within that. So we need as a people, as the people of God, to learn to be content where we're at in this life. And they're not easy lessons. And when things go pear-shaped, when your life begins to go down the toilet, don't blame God, as many have done. And my heart breaks for these people that I know in that situation. I just have a sense there's someone here this morning started going down that road, known God for a long time, but because of circumstances they're starting to blame Him because it's not working out the way they think. I realized that my life, and if we're Christians, our lives are hidden in Christ. And as much as I don't like it sometimes, God is sovereign. We have the parables in there about the potter and the clay. He can get it, smash it down, and start again. That's His prerogative. Because He's the potter and the clay belongs to Him. And if we don't like it, well, we've got to deal with that. That's our problem, not His. It's about having confidence in Christ. That because He is God, that He is sovereign, that He knows what He's doing. And I said last time I preached, I think, that the issue I've had since I was a teenager was smoking cigarettes. Got saved and I couldn't give them up. I went to India on mission trips twice and never, just threw away, never did it, come back here, bang, back into it again. And I've cried out to God my whole life, take these things away. Well, my motivation was wrong, but I didn't have enough of it. So He sticks me in hospital and rips all my plumbing out around my heart. That was the right motivation. I stopped then and never looked at another one since. Sometimes I'm tempted because I'm human. You know, you have that stuff that's in your system that every now pops up and says, here, have another one. Praise God, He's strengthened me enough that I've not been able to do it. Have another one, that is. It took me a long time to be I got to the stage where I'd given up trying to give up. And that's one of the messages they give you from the quit smoking thing. Don't give up giving up. And I'd done that. And I thought, well, God, if You want me to stop, You can fix it because I can't. And sometimes in our lives we have situations. Doesn't have to be smoking. It can be in relationship situations and this sort of thing. People, life's too short. When you're 20 or 30, you've got years in front of you. We think. But once you get into your mid-60s and get on and you realise that God promises 70 and 10, I'm nearly there. I've no idea how many days I've got left on this earth. You've got no idea how many days you've got left on this earth. So people will learn to be content where you're at in Christ. Let Him rule your life. Let Him be the one that supplies your need. Because I found out in the last couple of years that when everything went, God came through all the time, every day. Got no money left, it's all gone. All because of a heart operation. But then was I putting too much emphasis on looking at the money to fix my life? And retirement, which is a huge industry these days. You've got to put this away. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to do that. Otherwise, you won't live a good life in retirement. Well, if you're penniless, God will look after you. And if you don't believe that, get on your knees before God and ask Him to increase your faith. If you've got plenty of money today, give more of it away, because God will give more to you then. There's principles in God that work whether you're Christian or not. But we need to be content. And one of the ways I found to be content is to get rid of stuff. Just rely on God to meet your need daily. And He does. He provides situations. We met some people while we were on holidays. Just by accident. Simply because they had the same caravan we had. And they had a problem, which we've had. They come knocking on the door. Did you have this problem? If you did, how did you fix it? I said, I got a gem. Well, I haven't yet, but the jemmy bar fixes it. So they went and got a big screwdriver and fixed it, so they get the drawers open, get the cutlery out so they could use and beat with instead of their fingers. But they have a big Christian couple. Live in the mid-north of South Australia. We had a meal with them. And then we've got an invite to go and preach at their church. So you never know who God's going to bring before you. So our relationship with God needs to be right. And we need to stop fooling ourselves, because it's not, we aren't fooling ourselves, we're not fooling God. Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, that he'd learnt to be content in whatever situation lies before him or he finds himself in. So my encouragement to you this morning is to continue to work in relationship with God so that you can say the same thing. Pastor Peter, a couple of months ago now, preached a sermon about seasons. And we go through seasons, some good, some bad, some short, some long. But as you go through those seasons, it helps you to be content where you're at in God. So this morning, look at the season you're in. And if it's a good one, put some stuff aside for tomorrow. But let's build our treasure in heaven, not on earth, because it's going to disappear on earth, but in heaven it's going to be there forever. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and just. Lord, that all your promises in your word are yes and amen. Help us to come to terms with you being sovereign God, doing whatever you want, the way you want. And Lord, if this lump of clay doesn't turn out perfect, remold it. Remold it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.